Everybody, welcome into the very first VIP beginner's edition of VoiceOver for the iPhone. Now, this is basically an introduction to using voice with an iPhone. The VoiceOver is just an overlay for what's under the screen or on the screen. So, on the screen, you have icons, and they never change positions, even though you can actually move them with your finger. They're actually not really changing positions. So, for example, on your home screen, if you touch at the top, you'll see certain things that are in certain orders. That does not change. Now, you can change it, and that's a more advanced type of activity. But right now, what we're going to focus on is, say you just picked up your iPhone, you've never had it before. Okay, now what? Well, back in the day, you would need a sighted person to go into settings and actually turn the VoiceOver feature on. But nowadays, you have the phone hooked up to the internet, and usually they can do that. Somebody that's helping you with your phone can put it on the internet. You can tell Siri to turn VoiceOver on, and Siri will do that for you. Another way is to go into settings under accessibility, and then under VoiceOver and turn it on there. But I want to kind of introduce you to the gestures. And that is, to me, once you know the gestures of the iPhone and you have a full command on your flicking gestures and when to tap, when to double tap, when to triple tap, when to quadruple tap. And that's a learning curve. There is a learning curve, and you have to practice in order to get good at it. But you have to realize when VoiceOver is on, you don't need to press on the phone. You don't need to swipe. I mean, you hear people say swipe. That's not necessary. So picture, say someone has a piece of lint on their clothing, and you just want to kind of flick it off. That little tip of your finger, just kind of wipe across to get that lint off of there. Just flick, flick, flick. That's basically the gesture you're going to want to focus on. So there are different parts of the screen that you can access. Now, what I call is touch for orientation. So you just touch the screen to get focused on, or just to basically find out where you are, because unless you do that, you're not going to know where you are. So based on what you hear when you touch the screen, then you can either go flick to the left or flick to the right. And that's how you move around the screen. Now, most people think because, well, the icons are all over the screen, do I need to float my finger up and try to guess where the icons are? No. You can touch in a certain place, and based on what you hear, you can either flick left. I mostly center my fingers towards the middle of the screen. Now, once you learn there's a back button and you need to back out of somewhere, that back button is generally always in the same place. And so, to me, navigation is the entire key to mastering the iPhone. So I'm going to let up on the key and see if anybody has any questions about that.
How can I activate the practice mode?
You go into settings under accessibility, under VoiceOver, flick to the right until you hear VoiceOver practice, double tap, and then once you're in there, every gesture you make, VoiceOver will tell you. It flicking right, flicking left, or swipe. It may say swipe left. It's been a while since I've done that. There's a flick up gesture, a flick down gesture, a double tap gesture, a single tap gesture. And then when you want to get out of it, just hit the home key or your the way you get out of your app. If you don't have a home key, you just swipe up from the middle of the screen.
Thank you.
When you say double tap, is that with one finger or two?
Depending on what you're doing. Say, for example, you're flicking those little short flicks, and it's like, oh, I want to check my mail. So your voiceover says mail. So without any other touching the screen, you double tap. At that moment, when you hear that icon, the icon is focused right there where you want to be. Double tap at that time, a single finger double tap.
Do they still have the four finger double tap? Or if, yeah, four finger, I think it's double tap to get into the help mode.
I think it's a four finger triple tap.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've done it, but I know they had that shortcut at one time.
Does that also bring up the practice?
I do believe it does. Let me just verify that. I'm not real good at the four-finger tap, so let me just see.
You know, I do one finger sometimes and it acts like two. I don't know why that happens to me.
It's double, Cheryl. I just did it. It said starting help.
Thank you. It's been a while since I've done that, so I appreciate your help, Mara. And anybody else in here, this is not my show. This is for anybody that, okay, I can contribute something that might help as well. Jump right in.
Do you also toggle out of it the same way with the four finger double tap?
Yes, I just did that too and it worked.
Oh, thank you so much, boy.
That's pretty cool. Now, say you're at the bottom of the screen, you want to get to the top of the screen. You can, depending on how big your phone is, you can turn your phone horizontal or in landscape mode and do a four finger single tap to get to the top of the screen. And if you have your four fingers toward the bottom of the screen, it'll get you to the bottom of whatever screen you're in.
How do I turn off the wake up function?
You would need to go into settings and explore that. You're talking about raise to wake?
Yeah, let's say, for example, you touch the phone, it goes, what? It starts talking to something, I want to kill that, so it stays awake. My friend says I could do it, but he didn't remember how.
Okay, are you talking about the auto lock?
No, the one where if you happen to move the phone, it talks to like because it was asleep, or if you touch the screen, it opens up.
Well, anytime that say you get a notification and it's chattering, you can just do just two finger tap. Don't even tap, just two finger touch the screen and that'll shut it up.
Can I ask a question, Cheryl?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my daughter Sighted doesn't use any of the things we do. If she is using my phone like to set up an Echo or set up a Dot or something like that, should I shut off the voiceover?
Yes, I would recommend that because VoiceOver doesn't interact the way they're used to it. So you can just tell VoiceOver to turn off, tell Siri to turn off VoiceOver and it will turn off. She can use the phone the way she's used to. And then when she's done with it, you can also tell Siri to turn VoiceOver back on. It's really made it easy to do nowadays.
Do you can do it by voice with Siri, or can you triple tap the home button? Is that correct?
If you have the triple tap home set up in settings, it will work. Now, it won't work for me because I have another function assigned to that.
Cheryl, I have a question, please.
Sure.
Sometimes you'll hear it say you have, say, 5 notifications, and it will read the first one to you, but then how do you see the rest of them?
Okay, you touch your finger at the top of the screen, and with 3 fingers, you swipe down to the center of the screen. It should bring up your notifications. You can then just swipe to the right and go through them.
Thank you, ma'am.
Then how do you get rid of them?
You would, if you swipe all the way down, there's a clear notification button, or you can swipe up to dismiss.
Well, does that swiping up to dismiss get rid of them permanently? I've got about 10 from CarShield. They found my mobile number, and they call me once a day, and it makes a notification.
I don't know if it does it permanently, but you can delete the conversation and block the number in your phone. So if you go into your recents, find where they called you, you flick up once, I think it's more info, and then you can go in there and go through all the options, and one of which is block this caller.
Thanks. I'm going to say goodnight, folks. I got an early day tomorrow.
Thanks for coming in.
Are they recording these for posterity?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think somebody is recording it. I saw a recording in the list, so somebody must be.
Yes, I'm guilty.
I hope, listen, you're guilty, I'm guilty. I hope they put them on the site because I'd like to get it.
TX active.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Charlie, you have any questions?
TX active.
No, not so far.
Well, you're an advanced user. You're on your phone all the time. That's pretty cool. Like I say, the biggest hurdle into getting started with the iPhone is navigation. You got to put the time in. You got to practice. You got to figure out which finger works best for you. There's not any one tried and true way. I mean, some people will use their index finger. Some people will use their thumb, which is what I do. Some people will hold it with one hand, flick with the other. Some people hold it in one hand and flick, you know, with their thumb or whatever. So it's to find out what works best for you.
Lock screen.
Cheryl, I got a question here. I've been hearing, by word of mouth, which you might as well say is rumor, that they were working on coming out with an overlay that with the tactile features on it so a blind person could use it. But is that true or not?
Well, when I first got the iPhone, they had an overlay for it. I think AT guys sold it. I don't really feel like it's necessary, only to kind of give you an idea. Like there's a dot for the back button. There's a dot where the 5 would be. And then there's all these little dots where the alphabet is down at the bottom when the keyboard is on the screen. So, but like I say, it's just like take 10, 15 minutes every day and just kind of touch the screen, flick, see, you know, go into the voiceover practice and just, you know, generally make friends with it.
VIP Conway Team Talk Server 1 Tech Chat Team Talk 5 Classic V. 5.9.1 dialogue.
Shut up.
Channels list tree.
Hey.
Tech Chat.
It's 6:15
p.m. Can any of those helps, whatever, work in Verizon? Because that's the company I'm...
Dragon Queen.
If it's an iPhone, yes. The carrier really has nothing to do with the using the iPhone. If it's an iPhone, the carrier doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, most carriers are working all 3 major carriers.
Cheryl, when you swipe up and like I know with the taps, there can be 1, 2, and 3, and 4 finger taps and single taps, double taps, and triple and four for all of those. So it can get quite multiple taps. Is it the same way with when you're swiping up and down? Are there 1 finger swipe ups, 2 finger sweep up, and 3 and 4?
Yes. There's basically a single finger swipe up and swipe down, moves the element one thing at a time. If you do, just depending on that, and that's what the voiceover practice will help you learn. So if you do a 2 finger swipe down, it will read the screen. 2 finger swipe up will read, I think, from the cursor's current position. There's so many, you know. But where this is a beginner's class, that's a little advanced. But, yeah, we'll get to that.
What is the difference, then, between the iPhone and, say, an Android or a smartphone?
An Android does have accessibility features called TalkBack. And it's also a learning curve, but it's... I don't, in my opinion, not as intuitive as the iPhone. Most people with low vision that can still utilize the screen prefer the Android. Although people with no vision, like me, I much prefer the iPhone. I think it has so much more power to it.
Well, for us... There's so many more courses on the iPhone that are available to us than there are the Android. Isn't that right, Karen?
Yeah, the sites for Android, it's like there's almost nothing out there for blind Android users, whereas the iPhone, there's a ton of stuff.
I said Karen, but I meant Cheryl. By the way, hi, Karen.
Yeah, well, we're pretty similar. Like I said, the low vision people much prefer the Android because I've noticed that my low vision friends will invoke Google way more. And, you know, a lot of my blind friends, the newly blinded friends, they depend on Siri for virtually everything. Siri, what time is it? Siri, send a message. Siri. Send an email. So I like learning it the hard way, you know, the manually. Then you want to have those skills available to you. Yeah, then you can get a little lazy later on and play with it. But it's so important to master the gestures. Once you have mastered the navigation of the iPhone, and in my opinion, you own that phone and all its capabilities.
In Europe, a lot, or other parts of the world, blind people, some of them go to Android. Our friend Harith, he's Android, and it's simply because here we've got payment plans. You can pay every month. Over there, you've got to pay for the whole phone all at once, and Androids are cheaper than the iPhone.
Cheryl, I have trouble answering a call. Maybe when it's ringing, I just get nervous and can't tap in the right place, but I have a problem with it.
Okay, so when the phone rings, and it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I have to do that 2-finger double tap more than once. But if you focus your double tap not at the bottom, but near the bottom, say center 2 inches above, right in that sweet spot. A 2-finger, make sure both fingers are touching the screen at the same time. And you shouldn't have any issues.
Do you know if there is somewhere a document containing all of the voiceover gestures? I think that would be really neat to have.
I'm working on finding that, and I will provide it to Terry, and she can put it on the site under the items of interest.
Linda, sometimes if your 2 fingers are touching each other, and there's not a teeny weeny little space between your two fingers, the phone sees that as one tap. So there needs to be a space. Can read that it's a gesture of a double. So if you have a little space between your fingers, that might help you answer your phone better.
That's a good point there, Judy. Thank you. And I usually equate it to, like, you know, missed it by that much, maybe a half an inch wide between the two fingers, and just tap, 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 tap. And it should work every time.
Yeah, I find, like Judy's saying, I put my fingers like a little V for victory, just to maybe have a half an inch to an inch apart and do that double tap so that obviously they're spread a little bit.
I have started curling my thumb between the V shape and the two fingers that I use to tap, and it seems to keep it just the distance apart that it needs to be when I tap to answer.
Well, there you go.
I'm wondering, too, Cheryl, is there any possibility, or would this deter the natural function of the iPhone by putting any markings on it, say, from a dyno tape writer?
Well, if you have a screen protector on it, I've never tried to do that, but you can always take it off and see how it works for you. But depending on what part of the phone are you wanting to have reference to?
Well, I'm not sure yet, because I've still got my old flip phone, which of course has raised markings on it. Not braille, but raised, of different shapes, providing easy distinguishing accessibility. But I'm thinking very seriously about graduating over to an iPhone or whatever phone.
Yeah, frankly, I had a overlay when I first got an iPod Touch, and they're very similar to the iPhone. And it had a little dot where the back button is, like I said, a little dot where the five button is, and then all the little alphabets. So you had a point of reference. But once you actually know kind of where things are, you just will be amazed how quickly you gravitate to that area of the phone.
I think that's the thing, you know, is building up that muscle memory. And the only way you can do that is just kind of by trial and error. I was really not wanting to do it when I first got mine. Someone gave me an iPhone, and I spent like a week just playing with it because I didn't have it hooked up to a SIM card yet. And really, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, well, there's the old saying, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. And believe me, you put the time in, and the rewards will be so much greater than you ever imagined.
I just found a list of gestures that's online from Apple support. I don't know if this list is complete. I suspect it might not be, but it's pretty. It gives you all of the things that you're probably going to be talking about today, I think.
Well, quickly today, it's all about wanting to just get familiar with VoiceOver, listening to it, flicking, learning the best way to command, make that phone do what you want it to do. Don't sit there and it's like, well, okay, now what? Touch the screen, find out where you are, figure out what you want to do, and go from there. So That's the biggest advice that I can give you to begin with.
I think Apple Viz also has a list. It's on their beginning part, you know, getting your first iPhone. That's why I learned how to use the iPhone, was Apple Viz.
Cheryl, I want to ask you one. I've got a guy who was teaching me a little earlier in the spring, and he called the home button the get out of trouble button. If you're somewheres and you don't know what to do or how to get out of it, you hit the home key and you get clear of it. Is that correct?
Well, it gets you certainly out of the app that you're in and takes you back to basically what I consider the hallway. So if you touch the bottom of your screen area about half an inch from, you have a dock. And usually in the dock is your phone app, your mail app, music app, and your messages app. That you can also edit and move apps around if you like. But that's basically stays on there all the time. And then to the left of the phone app, you'll be in a little hallway and you'll see page one of ever how many. To get to page two, it's just, you know, how you flick that lint to the right and flick that lint to the left. Then to get to page two, you want to flick that lint up, just short little flicks. And the voiceover is so responsive. It's just so quick. And so you don't need to swipe across the screen. It's a very light touch. It's very responsive.
So there's this status bar across the top. Then there's the main body of the apps. And then at the bottom, is it the dock you call it?
Yes, that's the dock. The status bar is always on the top, half an inch. And you can touch that part. Once you're in the status bar, you can find out how many Wi-Fi, you can get the time, and you to the far right, you can get the battery level. And in some cases, it'll tell you your Bluetooth battery level.
So those are the three main ones, or is there another part to the property on your phone?
Well, yeah, those are the status bar, the dock, and then in between is all the apps that you can interact with.
The reason I'm thinking more seriously about getting an iPhone or whatever the brand, is because I heard somewhere they're eventually going to do away with manufacturing flip phones.
Yeah, they probably will. I guess iPhones are the way of the future. Fortunately for us, iPhone is virtually completely accessible. Now, there are some apps out there that are not voiceover friendly and naughty for those app developers that do that. But, for example, I have something on my phone called Voice Dream Scanner. I can read my mail with it faster than a sighted person can look at it.
One problem that I have is using my iPhone to call these places that have those menus where they tell you to choose a number for this and choose a number for that. How do you do that?
Okay, once you make a phone call, your menu, your numbers, just like your regular telephone, is on your screen. So you want to touch the screen, and sometimes voiceover is very, very faint, which is a problem that some of us have, is hearing it. But you might even need, if you're not using a Bluetooth headset or something, you might need to hold the phone a little closer to your ear as you touch the screen to find out what number you're touching, because it's not going to activate that number until you double tap.
One thing I've happened to me, though, unfortunately, is I make a call and my dial pad just disappears. It just goes away and I can't get back.
There is, in your phone app, there are tabs you have from left to right if you're in your phone app, you have recents, you have favorites to the far left, recents, contact, and keypad. You can double tap on that keypad to get it back on your screen.
Is there a method on the iPhone, Cheryl, that you could use or that you'd find so that you merely speak to and say, oh, for instance, Siri, if you're looking up a number in your phone directory that you've got of the names that you've recorded in there, can you set it to do that?
Well, you can say, Siri, call Tom Jones. And they'll say, you want to call Tom Jones? Now, Siri lately had a little bit of a delay. So those of you that have the iPhone, familiar with this, so you hear that bong. You want to wait like maybe a two count before you start talking to Siri because it may not hear everything you say. But if that person is in your contact, you can say, Siri, call Tom Jones. And it'll say, calling Tom Jones, I wish. But that's how it works.
Yeah, you can't tell it to press an individual number. Like, you know, if you do go into those websites those phone things where they ask for a certain number for this and a certain number for that, you can't use Siri for that, though.
No, unfortunately, it won't work. So this is where getting familiar with the screen, navigating the screen, comes in very handy. So, for example, somebody calls you, but you miss the call. It's like, oh, who called me? So you go into the phone app, and then, oh, recents. You want to double tap on recents, single finger double tap. And then up at near the top of the screen, not all the way to the top, maybe about an inch below, you'll be near the top of your recent list. You start flicking to the right and say, oh, Tom Jones just called me. I want to call him back. You double tap right on that name, and it immediately calls them back.
I know this is in the future, but the last time I talked with Apple support, which was, I don't know, about 6 months ago, and it had to do with this problem with, you know, where you call a place and you have to put in the such and such. But he told me that at that time, Apple was working on developing the feature where you could tell Siri to push, you know, option 4 or whatever. He said it's in the works right now.
Usually, if I call a place, then I get the menu, press 1 for this, 2 for this. If I go toward the middle of my screen or the middle bottom and start swiping, the numbers will show up. So I just swipe or flick until the right number comes up. And it's right there. So it will give you a chance to find that number if you're flicking around.
Well, unfortunately, my phone thing was not on my screen because he said, well, it's in the bottom left-hand corner. So I kept looking, and he was connected to my phone. He said, well, I can understand. It's not there. So anyway, he fixed it, so it's on my screen now.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that it would do that. So that's awesome that he was able to fix it for you.
Yeah, mine disappears a lot. I know one time I called Verizon, and it was so frustrating because it kept telling me to press one number for this and one number for that. By the time I found the right number, it said, I'm sorry, we don't hear anything. Thanks for calling, and it hung up, and it did that like 4 or 5 times. Oh, was that frustrating.
Yeah, I've been frustrated by the iPhone. Say, well, put your social security number in or type in the last 4 digits of your social, and then it doesn't give you time to do it, and that's most frustrating. So it's not a perfect system, but, you know, that's why, you know, navigation is key to mastering your iPhone.
Okay, my question for you then is, if you were to have a Bluetooth keyboard hooked up to your phone and you were making calls like that, can you actually push in the numbers on that keyboard rather than your dial pad?
I've not really tried it, but I do not believe that it'll work that way.
Because I know it will with my Braille display hooked up. You know, I can actually push in the numbers, and I think it works, if I remember correctly.
Well, they haven't advanced it to work with a Bluetooth keyboard because I have tried that, and it never works.
So are you saying to, in order to, hey, Della, welcome in. Are you saying in order to execute a phone call, you can go into the phone app and go into keypad and with the Bluetooth keyboard navigate to, you know, I've never really done that. So I might have to see if that works. I'm just curious now. So talk amongst yourself for a second. I'll be right back.
Well, I found that the only way the numbers work with your Apple, with your keyboard, is like if you're entering contact information, when you're adding contacts, you can type your phone numbers in. But that's the only time I've ever been successful with any kind of numbering in the iPhone with your Apple keyboard or whatever keyboard you're using.
A few weeks ago, I hooked up my Bluetooth keyboard to my cell phone, and electricity went out. We had to call Jacksonville Electric Authority, and MyBit couldn't get the numbers to work because it was in VoiceOver. She didn't know to double tap, and I was able to press the 1 on my Bluetooth keyboard and get through to somebody at Jacksonville Electric Authority. So it did work for me. The number 1 or 2, whatever I had to press to get the phone call through, worked from the keyboard.
Well, let me see if I can do it this way. I've got that in the... Okay, I've got the 5. Let me see. Hold on. Okay, so if you... I don't see what this, it will do it. Say, okay, you touch the screen and you see a 5. And if you don't want to double tap, you can do the VoiceOver space and it will actually do it.
I've had this situation where Siri will call, I ask Siri to call the number. And when it calls, and the, there's no keypad at all. I don't know, it's hit and miss. I've had it work a few times. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's when the keypad disappears a lot of times, is if you ask Siri to call. Mine will just freeze up sometimes and it won't talk or anything like that. I've never had the Braille display hooked up when it does that. But, ooh, that's frustrating.
Well... it might be Siri, but what I do, I call our pharmacy. They bring the medications out to the car. So you have to call and let them know you're there and see if your prescriptions are ready. So I just say Walmart Pharmacy Painted Post, and then Siri asked me, such and such one, do you want to call? And I said, yes. It calls it, and my keypad pad comes up immediately, and I have to press 0. And for some reason, I guess I'm pretty lucky. I usually do quite well.
Yes, I was just going to say the same thing. If you have Siri to call, like I just had Siri called my work, and it called it, and then I touched. See, this is where touch is important. It will orient you to where on the screen you are. So if you touch it and you hear a number, like I just touched it and it said 7. I touched it somewhere else and it said 5. So just a light touch to let it tell you where you are. And based on what you hear, You can flick to the left, right, or and then double tap on the number that you need.
Yeah, what I do when I get to the keypad, your zero is right in the middle between the star and the pound, or number key, whatever they call it. And right below the zero is a call button. So once you get done, if you're going to manually call dial a number, you want to hit that call number call button when you get done. Actually, I do dial this direct number sometimes instead of telling them to call it. The reason I do that is because somebody's giving me the number or something. I do it as they tell me.
You know, and it's always good to learn how to do it manually first, and that way you have that skill set created for yourself. And then you can be a little lazy and have Siri do it. But, you know, I think it's crucial that you learn how to do it manually first. So, because once you are able to do that, so you're learning the basics about the phone. It's like, yeah, I see all the apps on the screen. I can navigate. I can make it go backward and forward. So the one thing to remember is when you're flicking, you don't need to travel all over the screen with your finger. Take your finger in about the middle of the screen. Once you get the flicking motion going, the apps will seemingly go under your finger. They will, you know, they will travel. You don't need to move your finger unless you need to go to like the back button area. Or another thing that's kind of handy to know is if you touch the status bar area and then you single finger double tap in that area, if you're at the bottom of a list, it'll take you to the very top of the list, and it'll be easier to find the back button. So there's a lot of little tricks and tips that can make using an iPhone a much more enjoyable experience.
I had to step away from the computer, so I don't know if you talked about this yet. And I was just curious to know, when I bought my phone, and I have the iPhone 13, when they set it up for me, they set it up so that on the back of the phone, where the two little circles are for the camera, and below that, I can tap that or double tap it, and that's the app switcher. And I was just wondering, is that a standard setup, or did they do that for me special? And if they did that, and others would want to know how to do that, to set it up to do that, because that's very handy when you want to go from one app to another to another.
I went after her. Okay, Cheryl.
Yeah. Okay, Ron. No, that is not standard. They set that up especially for you. What good for you? That's pretty good feature to have. They call it the back tap, which is basically a shortcut, and it can be short. It could be set up in the voiceover settings area. So, all right, Rod, what's your question?
Okay, I've heard that you put in your own contacts, and I know there's a little baby keyboard that's quite tiny and whatever that you can work with on the phone. Do you think it would be a good recommendation, Cheryl, to get your own key, one of those Apple keyboards or a full-size better keyboard for a beginner to put in contacts?
Well, again, I recommend taking the time and learn how to do it manually. And then the keyboard is great. So what I do is a combination of iPhone keyboard. So I'll flick around the iPhone, then I'll get into an edit field, and if I'm doing a message, I'm grabbing the keyboard and I'm turning it on, and you can hear when the keyboard is activated, and you can just type, and then I'll take the phone, and then, you know, flick to the send button, double tap, and that's done. So I'm using a combination of both phone and keyboard, but yeah, keyboard is the one that I recommend. It's lightweight. It's got nice size keys. It's not over big. Uses batteries. Has an on-off switch. It's called the Omniton keyboard, and I've been using this for about 5 years now, and it never disappoints.
And it's only $20 on the only site there is out there, Amazon. And I just got one. It's pretty neat.
How do you spell that, Cheryl?
O-M-O-T-O-N, Omaton.
A keyboard is also very handy if you want to type emails, if you want to type a lot. It's okay if you've got just a short message or something to use the touch keyboard, but boy, if you want to type a long message, it really comes in handy.
And if you're good at dictation, once you get into the body of an email and you're in the editing feature function, a two-finger double tap, they call it the magic tap, will start your dictation, and you just talk, 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 and then two-finger double tap again, it'll stop dictation, and then you can kind of touch the screen and say, what did I just say? And then if you're good with it, then you can go ahead and flick to the left to the send button, and that's another way to do email.
That works very good in a lot of places. The other day I used it signing up for something, and I had to put my name and email address in. And I was surprised how accurate it was. I always double check it to make sure it's correct, but it works quite well.
How do you get it to read text? Like, ask Siri a question. So I found this on the internet, but she won't read it.
Well, that's when you have to, okay, check it out. And then you go up and you touch the screen and you find it, see if there's a link there. You double tap that and it'll take you to some website. I generally don't like to do that. It's just, it's very cumbersome. So I generally, if once she said that, then I try to ask it a different way so she'll give me a better answer.
Now, mine the other day, I was looking up something, and I said, I can't remember what it was now, but I said the name of a place or something, and it says, view it or whatever. Well, I swiped once to the right, and it said Google, so I double-tapped that, and then I just kept swiping, and there was my results.
Siri is notoriously dumb.
Well, you know, that's where I'm going back to the navigation. Terry is using, Siri. Yeah, okay. Siri has found something, but you've got to touch the screen, find out what they're talking about. So it's navigation is key to actually being successful in using an iPhone.
I think Siri has really gotten horrible since iOS 16. I think it's gotten worse.
Well, again, it's not. They changed that. You know, it used to go ding, and you knew that the microphone was active and Siri was listening. Well, now they've implemented this bong, and you have to wait like a 1-2 count before Siri is actually hearing everything you're saying. If you do that, you'll find that the results are much, much better.
Also, if you start talking too soon, she gets confused.
That's where the little pause comes in. You'll say, hey, S. Then you have to wait a second and then say it. And articulating your words helps too, because words that sound similar, if you're not really precise with your words, she'll come up with a different one. But I think the key is when you use her is after you say her name, to wait a second or two, and then you know she's listening. Sometimes you say her name and go right on what we have to say, and that's where she's not listening.
It's fixing to storm here, so I will listen to the recording of the rest of this. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you for coming, Linda. I hope this helped it a little bit.
We were talking about email addresses earlier. Email addresses, what if the developer's done their job right when you have to enter an email address? It will, the keyboard will vary slightly. You'll have the @ and the period near where the space bar is. So it's really helpful to know that. Then you don't have to go into numbers to get the punctuation.
Yes, definitely. Again, that goes with getting familiar with where things are lined up on the keyboard. And once you know layout and the different screens and the layout of the different screens, wow, it's amazing what you can do with an iPhone.
Not every app has that, though. Sometimes you have to go into the numbers because they're not there. A lot of times they are, especially if it wants you to type an email, but sometimes they're not.
Very, very true.
That's, if the developer's done their job properly. If you have a website, for example, when on fields where there are email addresses on this our website here, I specifically tell it it's an email field so that it the phone will know.
Yeah, I notice that sometimes when it wants you to put in your email address or something, it'll be right down below, and it'll be easy to find. Your port, period, and your @ will be right next to each other. But then you go someplace else, it's down more or less to the left, toward the bottom. If you had to go into your numbers, it's up just a little bit over on the right side, your period and your @, so it's a little bit different place on the screen, too.
Okay, Cheryl, if you're putting in a contact and you've put in all the information, and sometime I have to swipe back to make sure everything's there, then how do you enter it? I know there's a keystroke, and sometime I hit the right thing and then other times I don't. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for done or what?
Yes. Done basically means you're saving it into your phone. So the next time you swipe in your contacts, instead of the phone number or your recents, it'll say the actual name. So yeah, it's looking when you're in the edit field, then you can edit, you can change the name, change the phone number, add a phone number, add an email address. There's all kinds of things in there that you can put in. You can put notes in about who this contact is, because I tend to forget, well, who is that? So if I have notes in the contact, then I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that's cool. So then you flick back to the done button, double tap the done button, and that's basically saying your contact has been saved.
Sometimes if you touch the top right-hand side of your screen, the done button will come up. And it doesn't always seem to work. But if you're too high, then it doesn't work. So it's kind of toward the top, but not all the way to the top. It'll bring you to that done button.
Yeah, I know roughly where the done button is, but I know when I was first doing, I thought, well, that didn't make any sense. But if you're from the South, done means you're finished. So yeah, I guess it does work.
You're done, right? So a lot of you do actually use the email program on the phone. I was wondering how easy that was to use.
To me, it's extremely easy, but then again, I've been using it for quite a while. Once the email client is set up, once you go into it and start from the upper left, you know, kind of where your back button is and flick to the right, you go into your inbox, or you're in your inbox and it says unread or whatever. And if you want to read the particular email, double tap. touch the center of the screen and read the body of the email. And then down at the bottom, there's tabs that you can do, like a more action button. You can delete, you can move it. It's a very fully functional email program. And I don't have email on my computer, so that's when I get emails, that's where it's at on my phone.
Two-finger scrub will also get your backup, or get your back button as well, in most cases at least. You put just the two fingers and then up and down.
I always forget about that feature. I just touch to the upper left and, you know, that's pretty much it. And I forget about that scrub feature. Thank you.
I didn't know that either, Barry. Thank you. Other thing is, if you are on an email that you want to delete, you can just flick up once and then double tap it again and it'll delete it, which is kind of neat.
All right, well, we're coming up to the top of the hour. Is there any last minute thoughts or questions before we close it out for tonight?
It sure went quick, Cheryl.
Yeah, this was great, Cheryl. Are we going to do it again?
Yeah, right now I'm looking at once a month, and depending on what's pretty popular tonight, we might bump it up to twice a month. We'll see how it goes.
35 were our top numbers.
Wow, that's super. Yeah, twice a month, that'd be good.
We used to do classes a lot on the site. We don't do that so much anymore.
Well, I like it like this. I like keeping it informal. I'll bring up a subject or like the beginning, and people can ask questions, or if anybody needs help doing something, then there are usually several people in the group, and thank you so much for all of you that helped. That can help work with the person that needs help and get their issues resolved. So that's what this class is all about.
So a four-finger double tap gets you into the gestures. That'd be a good place to learn and practice a little, would you say, Cheryl?
Good evening, everybody. I hope you had a good day and hope you're feeling well.
Good evening, Ralph. Nice to see you. Yes, four-finger double tap. Thank you, Mar, for that. I should do my homework before I come in here. We'll get you into practice, and the same gesture will get you out. Or if you don't want to do that, go into settings, voiceover, accessibility, voiceover, and then voiceover practice. Same deal.